That's a weird way to start a service, but you get the idea of fears that we deal with, and fear can be a huge motivating factor for a lot of people. You know, it can either motivate us toward some positive action or some maybe wise choices, or it can motivate us into paralysis. And if we don't handle our fears well, our life can become stagnant, we can run, we can hide, we can shrink. We can stop living life the way God intended us to live it. Now, there is a good likelihood that someone in this room here today is dealing with some fear. Now, if you have, you might be afraid to do this, okay? But if you have had fears that you've had to deal with, could you just raise your hand for me this morning? Come on now, let's be honest, let's be... Okay, some of y'all are lying to me because you're afraid to tell me the truth. But maybe your fear wasn't represented in the video, but it is real and it is constantly with us. And if we aren't careful, our fears can destroy us. But if our fears motivate us to positive action, they can certainly help us become stronger people. Now, last week we began this series on David. And one of the most well-known underdog stories of all time is David goes out to face Goliath when he was probably 15 or 16 years old. And we talked about, you know, some of the things that David did, some of the characteristics of David. And one of the great characteristics of David was that he was grounded in his faith. And I want to talk to you today about being so grounded in your faith that... It can help to minimize those fears. Now, as we think about this today, the idea of overcoming fear was actually introduced last week. And today we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that thought. Now, you would think that a guy who had just killed a giant wouldn't have any fear at all. I mean, if you'd gone out and you'd had this great victory and you cut off the giant's head and you held it up for all to see, and you would think that no fear. I mean, you're just going to live life with no fear. And if you thought that, you would be wrong. David would have many experiences in life after that great victory over Goliath in which he would experience fear. And today we're going to look at one of those situations that David found himself in and see how his faith enabled him to overcome. And the basic message comes right out of the text today. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. Can you repeat that with me? When I am afraid, I will trust in God. Let's say it all together. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. Say it like you mean it. When I'm afraid, I will trust in God. Now that's the way we need to live our life. Now, David had plenty of fears. Some, again, may think that David had experienced this tremendous courage going out against this giant and that, you know, there would be nothing in life that would ever scare him again. But all you got to do is open up Psalm 56 and read it, and you'll realize David experienced fears. Let's read that passage together. Psalm 56, "Be merciful to me, my God. For my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, bring the nations down. Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemy will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise. In the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere or man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Now, I don't know how many of you have your paper Bibles, your actual Bibles, and not looking on YouVersion, but if you are looking in your other Bibles, you can see that there's a heading above this psalm. And in the heading above this psalm, it says, when the Philistines had seized him in Gath. Now, you might remember that Goliath was from Gath. That was where his enemies were. And so let's just be reminded a little bit about David. David had this great victory over Goliath, and much had changed since that time. Again, he was a young man at the time. You might remember the promise of the king. Anybody that would beat Goliath would, you know, they would become wealthy. They would they'd live tax-free the rest of their life. That's a pretty good option. And they could marry King Saul's daughter. And so all of those things happened with David. He had become the hometown hero. Everybody knew David's name. And he married Michal, the beautiful daughter of King Saul. He had also gone on to many more victories over the Philistines. You would think that he'd be on top of the world. You would think that he had nothing to fear after all of those victories and all of those good things that had happened. But there was some things that were going on behind the scenes. Some inner turmoil within the palace. So that David was unable to experience all the fruits of his victories. Namely, King Saul grew to despise David. In fact, King Saul wanted David dead. Now that is an amazing transition from David the hero to David, King Saul, wanting him dead. Saul had already hurled his spear at David on several occasions as David played the harp in the palace. Now, I don't think that's because he hit a sour note. I think it's because King Saul had an evil heart and he had grown jealous. You see, the people were calling David their hero, who had killed tens of thousands of their enemy. And they were saying in their little songs that Saul had killed his thousands. Saul heard this. And he realized that David was becoming more and more popular with the people. And so eventually, even Saul's own son named Jonathan, who happened to be David's best friend, came to David and warned him. He said, my father does intend to kill you. And so David fled, and he left everything behind. He even left his weapons. Now, as he was leaving Israel, he stopped in the little town of Nob, which was a holy city. There was a temple there with priests. And he stopped there and asked for some food. And they gave him some food, and he asked them if they had any weapons. And surprisingly, they did have one weapon. It was the sword of Goliath that had been kept there since David's victory. And so David took that sword and he fled his homeland and went into the land of Gath, from which Goliath was from, and where his enemies were. And we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 21, beginning in verse 10. That day David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, isn't this David the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. And so he pretended to be insane in their presence. And while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors and of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, look at that man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house? Now I want you to get the picture here. David has won many victories over the Philistines. He is the hero of the Israelites, defeating the giant Goliath, the hero of the Philistines. And so David has fled Israel and gone into the very land of his enemy. They knew who he was, even though they didn't have the internet and they didn't have pictures and they didn't have selfies and stuff like that. They knew who David was. He's the man that had killed their hero Goliath. They knew that he had led many battles against them. They heard the same songs that Saul had heard. And so you can imagine that David would not be a very popular person in Gath. So they seized him. And I would imagine that they intended to kill him. Wouldn't you imagine that? Wouldn't that be the basic thing that somebody back in that day would do? But David thought up a strategy. He pretended to be insane. He acted like a madman, and the ploy worked. The king didn't want anything to do with David, so he sent him away, and David was able to escape. But I want you to recognize this fact. In the passage, it said, David was afraid of King Achish. Now, he had gone out and fought Goliath. Wouldn't you think he'd been more afraid of Goliath than of this King Achish? And he showed no fear of Goliath, but now he's afraid. And that just goes to show you that sometimes we can have these great victories, we can think we're on top of the world, and then all of a sudden the bottom drops out, something bad happens, and fear creeps in to us. Now for the next 15 years or so, David would live on the run, a man without a country. But during all that time, David never lost his faith in God. And so in the psalm that we read at the beginning, David wrote about how his enemies pursued him. They conspired against him. They wanted to kill him. He's not making this up. All of these things were happening. But it wasn't just the Philistines that were doing this. It was his own people, his own king, his own father-in-law. How many of you would say your father-in-law wanted you dead? Now, I hope that's not true. I mean, that would be sort of bad. But that was the case for David. And what did David conclude from all of this? Yes, he did have fear, but he trusted in God. And I want you to just look again at those verses. We've already read them. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? So David understood this truth. Even when you can't trust men, who can you trust? Even when everyone else seems to be against you, who is for you? Don't you think that's important for us to remember? And if God is for us, who can be against us? Even when you are afraid, you can take heart that God will deliver you. And so in his darkest moments, the light of God got David through. Now, if David had not trusted in God, if he had not been grounded in his faith, I can't imagine what might have happened to him. He might have truly become a madman. He might have truly lost his mind. But faith got him through it all. Now, I want to spend the rest of our time together just asking about us. What about you? How do you deal with your fears? How do you overcome those things that creep into your mind and they got you all worried and concerned and anxious? I believe David found the key. It was putting his trust and faith in God. When he wrote, when I am afraid, I put my trust in God. That's what we need to take from this. He did not deny that he had moments of fear. Now, Jesus basically taught us that when we understand God's love for us, maybe that's something that can drive out fear. If you remember the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke this to the people early on in his ministry. And in Matthew chapter 6, we read part of the Sermon on the Mount. And beginning in verse 25, a very familiar text to many of you. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, doesn't that seem to be very good advice for those of us who are dealing with fears? What is Jesus teaching? He reasoned that if God cares about the birds and the flowers, don't you think he cares about you? I mean, you were created in his image. Don't you think he cares about you? Now, Jesus also reasoned that worrying about life isn't going to do anything to give us added life. Do y'all catch that? Do y'all believe that? That, you know, being afraid and shrinking from life is not going to give you longer life. In fact, I think scientists and medical science shows that all that worry and all that fear and all that anxiety actually decreases the length of life. Being afraid doesn't necessarily fix things that make us fear. Now I'm not going to say that all fear is not good, is bad. I'm not going to say all fear is bad. There are some things that we learn in life that we should fear. All right? For instance, if the doctor says, you're either going to stop smoking or you're going to die, don't you think that you should listen to what the doctor is saying and just stop smoking? How many of y'all would agree with that? Some of y'all, okay, y'all, some of y'all don't agree with me. What if the doctor says, you're going to lose weight or you're going to die? Would you begin to think seriously about losing weight? How about you students here today? What if your teacher says, if you fail this test, you got to come back and take this whole year again? How many of you would think seriously about studying a little harder for this test? Okay, are you with me? Now, I told Sydney before she went to Australia, I told her, watch out for the crocodiles. Watch out for the crocodiles. And true story, there was a girl that had been in my brother's youth group many years ago from Charlottesville, Virginia. And she became a model and ended up going to Australia. And through a series of events, she was attacked and killed by a crocodile. And so I told Sydney, I said, don't you put your feet in that water. You know, I put the fear of God into her. Well, the fear of crocodiles, okay? I think that's a healthy fear, don't you? But you know what she's been attacked by? She's in Australia. And you know what attacked her? A magpie. A bird. It attacked her the other day, ripped her earbuds out of her ear, scratched her on the neck. She had to run into a building to save herself. I said, I didn't know it'd be coming from the air, honey, but, you know, you just got to keep your eyes on a swivel, right? But what I'm saying is that all fear is not necessarily a bad thing. But it's when we worry about the things that we have no control over that really becomes the problem. David could not control Saul. He could not control the Philistines. And so he put his hope and faith and trust in God's hands. His life was literally in God's hands. When he was afraid, he trusted in God. Can you say the same thing this morning? Can you say that the fears in your life don't hinder you from living life to its ultimate, that you just put your trust and faith in God? Can you really say that? Are you able to turn your fear over to God and be grounded in your faith? Now, God wants to change your outlook on life, and what I want to tell you is that you don't have to fear. Listen to what Paul wrote a young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For the Spirit of God, or the Spirit God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. When you became a Christian, it is our belief that God sent His Spirit to dwell within you. Now, we read in Galatians that the Spirit of God produces several things in us. It produces love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control, and all of these things are a result of the Spirit of God living in us. But Paul added to that thought. That Spirit does not make us timid. In other words, the Spirit of God is not a spirit of fear. He is not a spirit of cowardice. He is not a spirit of panic. The Spirit of God is controlled, and He is a spirit of power. And I want you to think about that. You have the power of the Holy Spirit within you if you are a Christian this morning. Now, if you're not a Christian, you better be afraid. And I don't joke about that. But if you're a Christian here this morning, you have the Spirit of God. You don't have to be afraid of anything because the Spirit is your strength. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, we read, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Now, in some translations, it's simply this: greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Y'all agree with that? Do you have faith in that? Do you believe that? God is greater. His Spirit is greater. And that Spirit resides in you if you are a fully devoted follower of Christ. That means we can overcome the world no matter what it throws at us to scare us, to frighten us, or to intimidate us. God is with you. He is in you. Trust in that promise. Claim that promise. Because I'm going to guarantee you something. Today or tomorrow or this week, this month, this year, somewhere in your future, something's going to challenge you. You're going to feel like you're attacked, like David was feeling attacked. Something's going to come at you. The powers of this world are going to get in your face. They're going to try to intimidate you and make you worry and anxious. But remember what John wrote in John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I mean, there's two promises there. You're going to have trouble. If you're not having trouble now, you're going to have it at some point. But take heart. If you are in Christ, you can overcome it all through Him. Listen to me now. When the world comes at you, you claim that promise. Maybe you can say what David said to Goliath. We read this last week. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Amen. You're not alone. You are not powerless. You are not a victim. You're not a doormat. You're not weak. You are not a scared little rabbit. You are a child of the Most High God. Amen? You have the Spirit of God living within you. He is not timid. He is not afraid. And He goes with you wherever you go. Now let's act like it. Let's not act like we're defeated. You know, let's not act like we're scared little rabbits. Let's be the mighty warriors that God wants us to be. When you are afraid, and I'm going to say, we all have moments of fear. Let's call on Jesus. I read this quote that fear can destroy more dreams than failure ever could dream of. And friends, those fears get in the way. of us experiencing life to its fullest. I want to close with a story. I've shared this before, but I think it's been long enough, long ago, that many of you have never heard it before. But quite a few years ago, there was a family that was attending our church, and they had a 15-year-old daughter. And we took a church trip off to Busch Gardens, to Williamsburg. And we were going up there primarily, you know, we had just seen that they had a new roller coaster that had just opened. Now, this is going to date us a little bit here, but the Griffin had just opened, okay? So y'all know, man, that thing's 20 years old. Okay, well, I'm just saying it was a while back. So this girl, 15-year-old Ashley, as we were riding up there, she made us aware that she was a little nervous about riding a roller coaster. But she also said she was deathly afraid of riding in the front of a roller coaster. Well, when I heard this, it was just a challenge, you know. Now, you might say, Tim, you're evil. Well, okay, I'll take that. You know, maybe it was evil for me to think, we're going to get her on the front row, okay? So now, if you're familiar with the Griffin, you know that it's not like a lot of other roller coasters that have sort of the cars and you sit two. No, the Griffin's sort of laid out like you have 10 seats and there's 3 rows of seats. And it's a pretty cool ride. Now, as we got there, of course, you know, on that day, it was fairly new, so you can imagine the lines were pretty long. It took about an hour and a half to finally get up to where you're going to ride. Now, the whole way up there, I made sure I was with Ashley. I told her, hey, come on, Ashley, you ride with me. We'll be okay. And so we're talking. Now, at some point when you get up there, it sort of divides you into where you're going to sit. Now, how many of you have ridden the Griffin? How many out there have ridden the Griffin? Okay, some of y'all are courageous people. Okay, you're not scaredy cats. So as you get up there, it divides you into either front row or middle or the rear, right? So I'm making sure that I've got Ashley's attention. And when we get up there to where we divide, she doesn't even know what's going on. And so I just sort of take us into the front row, all right? And when we got to where we were going to be like the next group that goes off, you know, it's like 10 people go every time. And when we got to the next group, she realized, I'm in the front row. And she said, I can't do this. I can't ride on the front row. And I said, now, Ashley, it took us an hour and a half to get here. If you get out, you're going to have to go all the way back, and it'll take another. Now, I might have fibbed a little bit. I don't know. I didn't ask the people if they would let her in the second row or the third row. I just told her, look, it's going to be a long walk if you don't ride now. So she bought what I was telling her, and so I know that might be a little misleading. I know you're really disappointed in your preacher, but I was having some fun. So we walk in, and you know we get strapped in. The thing comes over your shoulders, and you know it's sitting here. Now you don't have a seat belt, and then the floor drops out. Okay, so you don't have a floor, and you just got this thing over your shoulders, and then it begins, click, 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 rising. Now, this morning, I want all of us to go on a roller coaster ride. How many of y'all love roller coasters? All right, we're going to have some fun this morning. So I want you to watch this video. Now, make sure the volume's down because I want to sort of tell everybody what I was hearing as I was riding with Ashley on the Griffin. All right. Click, click, click. We're going up. Now, Ashley starts out very low key. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. She's not hyperventilating. She's, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. And then we come to the edge. Now, what happens at the edge is it stops, and you're dangling, looking straight down at your feet and the people below. And she's like, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, And it's starting to pick up speed. And I'm, wah! Oh, Jesus! Jesus, 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 Jesus! I mean, I am hearing Jesus' name more than I've ever heard it in my life. We're spinning around. We're twisting. Oh, my goodness. She's screaming, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we get up here. It's like, oh, 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 Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, oh, here we go again. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, oh, oh. And I am just having the time of my life. And we're going around, and you can see if you're riding along with us, we're screaming around, and we're coming, and we're searching, and she's still screaming, Jesus, 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 and then you're at the end. A minute and a half, and we stood in line for an hour and a half. Does that seem right? That doesn't seem right. Now, when it was all over, I thought about this. Now, maybe Ashley didn't really realize what she was doing. But when we are afraid, who do we trust in?
Not the
preacher. See, that's a retired preacher there that said that. For those of you in the back, he said, not the preacher. So if you ever go with me to Busch Gardens, you want to be aware. But when we are afraid, who do we call on? We call on Jesus. We ask Him for courage. We ask Him for strength. Now here's the funny thing. Roller coasters are safer than riding down Fire Tower Road. Everybody with me here? All right. That roller coaster is on rails. It has all kinds of safety things going on. I mean, and it's the same every time. I mean, they know exactly what's going on. It's the same amount of time. You don't have any speeders cutting you off. You don't have people doing other things. You know, it is a safe ride. But life is a lot scarier than a roller coaster. Because every day, something new, something different, something unexpected could happen. We never know with life. And that is why it is so important for us to be grounded in faith and remember this lesson. When I am afraid, I will trust in God. Father, we come to You today, and there are a lot of things in life that can scare us, and there are people here today that are right in the midst of some of these scary things. I mean, maybe there's some people that are afraid at work, afraid of failing, or maybe some who are afraid at school, maybe afraid of whatever they're going to deal with, the bully or whatever it might be. Maybe they're afraid of what the doctor is going to say when they go to that doctor's appointment. Or maybe they're afraid of what the banker is going to say. Or maybe they're afraid of you know, what their spouse or their children will say. And some here are being oppressed and they're becoming distressed. And like David, maybe many here feel like everywhere they turn, they're beaten down. They're attacked. They're belittled. But we thank You, God, for Jesus and for Your Spirit. Thank You that we can trust in Jesus. Thank You that we can face those fears because of Your Spirit. Help us, Father, to trust You more and to rely upon the strength and the power of Your Spirit. I know, Father, these fears can destroy us, but if we will trust in You, like David trusted in You, we can face those fears and we can praise You in the midst of them. When I am afraid, I put my trust in You. In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. In God, whose word I praise, and the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.